Right now, have you ever driven past an older building or mansion and thought, I'd sure love to see the inside of that place? Well, our next guest does just that.
Bobby Tanzillo joins us now. He's a writer and senior editor for On Milwaukee, where he writes a regular feature called Urban Spelunking, where he explores and documents old, often historic buildings in the Milwaukee area. Bobby, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, can you give us an idea of what you're looking for when you set out to find a place with history that you can really dive into its past?
Yeah, well, I'm lucky that On Milwaukee basically gives me leeway to sort of follow my muse. So basically, I follow my curiosity and, you know, things that look interesting to me and things that, you know, I started off doing places that were sort of obvious, like City Hall and things like that. But I've really come to kind of appreciate the sort of everyday history in Milwaukee and the sort of more personal history. And I'm a big fan of, like, public and civic buildings. I'm a big fan of schoolhouses, churches, firehouses, you know, buildings that really were kind of important in their neighborhoods and important to people on a daily basis.
Do you ever get surprised by a building? You think this is an old building, but there's not going to be a lot here. You start digging and you're surprised at what you find.
Yeah, in a way, I'm surprised all the time. And in a way, now I'm no longer ever surprised, because, you know, I've done so many places that I thought, how am I ever going to get a story out of this? You know, it doesn't seem like there's much going on. You know, you go in the building and you look around and everything's been torn out. But then you start to do a little research and you find that there is just, as I say, there's history in every one of these buildings. You know, the city here sometimes has tax foreclosures that they're trying to sell, and they often have historic properties, and I've been invited by them to go in and see some of these old, once fabulous mansions, and some of them on the inside, again, have been completely gutted, and you think, you know, there's nothing here, but you do a little research, and there's one place, turned out that the guy who had built the mansion was then charged with embezzling tons of money from his company, and he fled to another state, and people were worried that the banks were going to fail because of this embezzlement, and so the mayor got a bunch of money and paraded down Wisconsin Avenue with this cash to prove that they had plenty of money.
Wow.
So really, there's almost, you know, the other day I went to a building that the city was going to sell, that the city is selling, and didn't really know what to expect. It turned out it was an old Turner Hall, and in the 50s it had a jazz club in it, and Billie Holiday played there for four nights. So I feel like, you know, everywhere I go, I find it's almost impossible not to find something interesting.
Right, and you write about Shank Hall, the legendary Milwaukee music venue. That's one that had layers upon layers of interesting stuff going on. Can you tell us some of that history?
Yeah, the interesting thing to me about that is that I'm a musician. I've been in bands, and, you know, since 1984, I've played a number of times at Shank Hall. I've been to see shows there. But I had no idea of its history beyond its history, you know, as a nightclub, which was only, you know, from the early 70s on. It turns out early on, I mean, there's two buildings. The back building was an old sort of Victorian coach house, which is really cool. But then built on the front is just kind of a low single-story building that for a long time was just a garage, didn't really have much going on. But in the late 40s, it turns out Capitol Records buys the building and turns it into their Wisconsin distribution headquarters, which means all through the 50s, when, you know, they were putting out Les Paul records and Nat King Cole records, and into the 60s when the Beatles came to Milwaukee in 64, all of those records were being distributed throughout Wisconsin from that location, which I thought was a really cool connection for a rock and roll nightclub.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the life that might have lived in that building. You might have had famous people dropping by to see where these records are being made.
Yeah, incredible. And, you know, even a lot of this stuff really is hidden because even the owner of the club, the guy who's owned it for 30-plus years, had no idea about this. Hmm. So it's really interesting how much history is around us that we just don't even realize.
Could you see any remnants of that Capitol Records distribution, or is that just gone? You just found that by following the paper trail?
Yeah, I found that by the paper trail. There's nothing really left there. There is some interesting stuff in the old Victorian part. Is actually quite beautiful. There's some rooms upstairs that have just this beautiful ceiling. And down in the basement, you could see where the doors were that opened up to let the horses in and out, and there's rings embedded into the wall where they used to tie-up horses.
And the venue itself has a long musical history. Who are some of the famous artists who stopped by and performed there?
Oh, yeah, when it was Teddy's first, it was they had a lot of blues and folk and stuff, and they had legends like Muddy Waters played there numerous times, and Shank Hall has had just everyone, you know, from like Warren Zevon. They've had Garbage, Wilco, the Flaming Lips, Alanis Morissette, Blue Oyster Cult. I mean, just everybody across all kinds of genres.
And when you're doing your urban spelunking, you keep referencing something called Sanford Map, I think it is. What is that?
Oh, the Sanborn Maps.
Sanborn Map, yeah.
Sanborn was a company that made these fire insurance maps, which were especially a big deal back then when everything was made out of wood. so they had every year they would do these really, really detailed maps of the city, and every building that existed was listed, and they told you all sorts of things, like whether it was heated by furnaces or stoves, and told you sometimes square footage and all kinds of, did they have gas lighting or electric lighting. So you can get a lot of information off these maps, and they're especially good because if you compare, like, you know, the public library here has 1894 edition and 1910 edition editions of the maps online that you can search. It makes it really easier to figure out where additions had been put on and how buildings changed over the years.
We're talking with Bobby Tanzillo right now, writer and senior editor for On Milwaukee, talking about his regular feature called Urban Spelunking, where he goes and digs into the history of historic buildings in Milwaukee. And you write about also another, it's kind of more of a complex of buildings, it seems like. I think it's called La Lune. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. La Lune is a really fascinating story because, again, it's another one of these things that you sort of look at it and you think, well, it's got a pretty, you know, the main part of the building is cream city brick and it's got a nice arch over the door. But beyond that, you don't really know what the story is. But it turns out it was built by H. Schmidt and Son, which was a contractor that actually built, they built their own building, which was that one. But they also built a lot of well-known buildings in the city, including the Wisconsin Gas building that has the flame on top, and some prominent churches and things like that. And nowadays, it's home to a furniture company that actually has their factory in a building out back, and they also rent space to the Florentine Opera Company. So it's from the outside, it looks like kind of a quiet little building, but inside, it's a hive of activity.
Wow. So do you ever feel like these buildings, you know, that they really are, they're secret keepers, that there's the little treasure troves of the past?
Yeah, I feel like they really are, and I think it's important that On Milwaukee allows me to kind of go out and sort of unlock the secrets. You know, I don't want to overstate what I do, but I mean, it's all out there, and I'm just kind of going and getting it.
Does it ever feel sad to you that some of these, you know, I'm thinking about Shank Hall, for instance, that Capitol Records history, it's just kind of wiped clean when you look at the building itself. Do these buildings strike you as sad, or is this kind of powerful?
It depends. If I look at a building like La Lune or Shank, I mean, to me it's powerful that, you know, in both those cases, it's interesting that you named those two, because really both of them have a present that's tied to their past, even though they did, you know, in the Shank case, they didn't realize it, you know, it has this sort of musical history, but it's living a vibrant life now as a musical building. So it makes me happy that it's continuing that tradition, even if it's unknowing. But La Lune, the owner of La Lune, told me that what he really appreciated was when he found the history of the company that had built the buildings and had been there up until he had been there, was that like his company, Schmidt and Sons was an immigrant company. They were a German company. They hired other Germans. They spoke German in the building, you know, when they were there together. And La Lune has, you know, works hard to hire, you know, new Americans too. And so he really feels like it's carrying on this tradition. And so those buildings don't make me sad. The ones that make me sad tend to be the ones that are closed or falling down or just in really bad shape. They look like they have no future. Those are the ones that make me sad.
So you've been at this for a little while. Are there still Holy Grail buildings that you want to explore that are on your list?
Oh, yeah, there's always more. And, you know, I drive a pretty good distance every day to and from work and school and doing my circuit. And so I see buildings all the time, and I think I just get interested in. But some of the big ones are the North Point Water Tower. I know it's just a staircase in there up to the top, but I feel like that would be great to be able to go up there. And I'm also really interested in the water treatment plant along the lake, just to kind of, it's a beautiful building, but also to get inside and kind of see how that all works and explain to people how that works, because I don't think that people really understand how that key element of their daily life is transformed and brought to them. Then sort of smaller neighborhood ones, there's a closed Lutheran school called St. Stephen's School on the south side that I've always been dying to get into, and I just have never had any luck.
Well, I hope you get your chance. Bobby, it's been fun talking today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Bobby Tanzillo is a writer and senior editor for On Milwaukee, talking about his feature called Urban Spelunking, and there is a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page.